Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh, okay.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Does your Zoom yell at you when we start recording too?
It's so, I don't like it.
It's alarming.
Recording in progress.
Damn, sorry.
God, Zoom. Okay, what episode is this? Are we on 21 or 20 now?
Let me see.
What episode even is this?
We're on episode 20.
Oh, fun. An even 20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we thought that the last episode was going to be 20, but we had to scrap a recorded episode.
That's right.
and so now this is 20, which I think this is a good topic to have as our 20th.
Oh, yeah. I think so too. This is a good landmark episode.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, we're doing welcome to episode 20. We're going to be talking about pansexuality today.
Oh yeah, did we start? I guess we forgot to be like, "Hi, we're recording now. This is our
yeah."
Okay. Welcome to episode 20.
Yeah. It's strange on Zoom, you guys. We're still adjusting to doing it on Zoom versus just like,
yeah.
I feel like seeing the audio feed recording on Audacity is like so much easier to like
more start.
Official. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny on
Zoom. But this is a lot easier. So like before we were having our phones like set up so that we could FaceTime, and then on our computer, we would have the Audacity app recording us on our voices. And then you'd have to make sure that your phone is charged and your AirPods. Oh yeah. You had to make sure you had headphones on. Oh,
such a
and then way. Like 20 episodes later, we're like, wait, when you record a Zoom call, it just downloads an audio file. We don't even have to like put the two audios together, and we can just take that one file and edit out anything we need to. And that's it.
And we just put our like, and most of you have said that you like to hear the little like rambling before we start. So lately I've just been lazy and haven't even cut that out because people like to hear that those couple of minutes leading up, you know? And most of the time it's not a couple minutes. Most of the time it's like 30 seconds. But no, yeah, I think it's like so much easier because all we have to do is put music in and like you said, cut out whatever we need to cut out and then we're done versus like lining up our two audio feeds and putting them in a Google Drive and exporting them out. Oh, it was so much.
Yeah, we were doing it old school.
We were doing the most for a job we don't get paid for.
Right. Like for something we were doing as a hobby, we were making it like so complicated for ourselves. And I'm so glad that we decided to just not.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Well, welcome to episode 20.
Episode 20. I can't believe it has been 20 episodes. 20 episodes. Sorry. It is the morning of Sunday. And
yeah, we never do this in the daytime, you guys.
No, this is odd. I've been like busting my ass working. So my body and my mind is just taking a little longer to catch up to reality, I suppose. Okay, so 20th episode. I can't believe it's been 20 episodes already.
No. It's insane.
But this is a really good and exciting episode topic to have, I think, for our 20th episode. I think it's a great way to celebrate the fact that we've been doing this for like over 20 weeks now, which is weird to say.
I know.
But yeah, I guess I know it's very weird. It's moving very quickly. I guess we'll just jump right into it. I'm going to read the question of the week, which was, what is your favorite part of Pride Month, the month of June? If you're listening to this in another month, it is June right now, which is Pride Month. And so our listeners responded. Well, my mom responded. My mom said, pre-pandemic, walking in the Fort Worth, because she's in Fort Worth, Texas, Pride Parade with some of the most awesome people. Hopefully we can get back to events like that soon. Rainbow, rainbow, pride flag, rainbow, rainbow.
Cute. Oh, I love your mom so much.
Me too. And then Allison said, getting to see people express themselves, heart. And then, sorry, my voice box is like lagging today. And then my answer to this question is the conversations that come from Pride Month. I started really liking having these types of conversations, honestly, in college, because mm-hmm. one time, this is like a random story. sorry. I took a sexuality, like psychology of sexuality class.
Love that.
And one day we had a pride panel, or not a pride panel. I was looking at our post that said pride, and then I was thinking, you know, Jesus Christ, a like panel. A pride
panel. That sounds
no. This is gonna be a mess. Okay, an LGBTQ panel. It was before the IA plus was added. It was like years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we got to ask questions to people who identified as different genders. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because in that class, like there were a few like, you know, straight white men who never impressed by anything. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to see them like be more open and mm-hmm. curious about like how people identify and why. Like we were able to be like, okay, well, like I don't understand this, but like why do you, like how does that work? Because we like don't understand how it works. Mm-hmm. So anyways, like since that day, I have like loved hearing other people's experiences and hearing people talk about like why they feel they identify as whatever it may be from like that community.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's my favorite part of Pride because it sparked those conversations.
I love that.
We are having one of those conversations today.
Yeah, we are.
So it's very exciting, but Allison, I'm going to let you have the floor.
Okay. So I don't know. I think the last like couple months have been thinking like, I don't know. I've always like celebrated Pride Month and like, whatever, but I haven't ever, like, unless you were a really close friend of mine around the time that I was like realizing my sexuality, you like probably don't know my sexuality because I have never really like talked about it or like I didn't really have like a coming out, you know, like I never really did that. And so I think for the last like couple of years, but specifically like this year, the last few months, I've just been noticing like kind of how I don't want to say harmful, but like how difficult it is for me to move around the world as like an adult person who fully understands her identity and like can articulate it now, to have people like connecting me with like parts that I wouldn't consider my identity, like, which would be just like a straight heteronormative person. And so I think I just wanted to sit down and have a conversation because I need to, I guess, like for myself, have like a little bit of like a coming out moment where I'm like, you know, I get to own that a little bit. Because yeah. I do think I deserve it. We'll get into this later. But for a long time, I just felt like, oh, well, you know, I'm dating a, guy and like eventually got married to a guy. So I'll just like, it won't be that difficult for me to just like move around the world and not really have to address my sexuality with anybody. Mm-hmm. But as I get older, I just am like, oh no, that is like actually a big part of like the assumptions that people make about who you'll be and what you'll do and the things you'll like, you know?
Yeah.
And anyways, so just approached Val and was like, how would you feel about doing a little episode where we just like have a conversation about that? And you were like totally into it. And
yeah, for sure.
I just feel like I don't know. I've always felt for me that like making a big deal out of coming out never felt like, I guess, natural for my, like what I wanted to do, you know, like I'm a person who had 30 people at her wedding, you know? And so like, I never really felt the need to like, I guess, have a big, like coming out moment. And I'm like, just sort of deconstructing now, like, well, how much of that was me like just trying to suppress who I was and what my identity was versus like what I actually wanted. And now that I'm like a little bit older and I have a kid, so I'm like also seeing identity through like that perspective, I'm just realizing it's a part of myself that I shouldn't have to want to hide or ignore. And
right.
If I have people in my life who like want to know about it, then I should let them know about it. And, you know, I should have the respect of the people that love me around me to like, you know, not fit me into boxes that I don't belong in. And I don't know. So that's what we're talking about today.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because I think it is important. I know you say that it's not like a huge deal for you to need to come out, but I think honestly it is because you are someone who ended up marrying a white male.
Yeah.
Which there's obviously nothing wrong with that. But like I'm saying, like, because you married a white male.
Because I could pass as straight for the rest of my life if I wanted to. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So like people just make an assumption that, you know, Allison is a straight female who just went and married someone. So like in reality, when people are having conversations with you, they could be offending you or hurting your feelings without even realizing it because they put you in this box of someone who just like went and got married and started a family.
Yeah.
And another part of it is now that you do have a kid, you have to think about when they grow up, what are they going to see? Mm-hmm. And so if you never, I guess, I don't know. I'm not trying to like tell you how to feel, how to like deal with like your identity.
Oh yeah.
But like if she sees somebody who never was able to talk about what you actually identify as or like what your sexuality is, if she grows up and identifies as whatever it may be, she may feel that it's not
like necessary for her to express it too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like she might think like, I don't know, like might think that like you would judge her or like she wouldn't feel, I mean, not that you would make that
right
environment in your home. It's just like, if she's seeing that you're oppressing how you identify and seeing you're oppressing like your sexuality, then it might like maybe make her do the same thing. So I think personally from like personal standpoint, I think it is important like, to talk about what you identify as and what your sexuality is. And I think that part of that was probably you just oppressing yourself. Yeah. Like,
well, and I think a lot of it too is also like I grew up very much in an environment that was just the way to deal with that specific brand of homophobia was just, well, why should we even have to address who we want to have sex with? Like, why do we even need to talk about that? And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, nobody is saying we need to stand out in the street and like call out everybody that we would, you know, want to get busy with. Nobody's saying we want to, that's what we're trying to do. but we have a system built on a heteronormative culture, and we do make assumptions about people and say things, especially when we're close to people and we love people. We joke around with them and we do things like that. And it's things like jokes that can become hurtful if you don't have a full spectrum idea of like who that person is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, even things like, I have had friends before tell other friends, like joking around, like about girls at bars, and, you know, that obviously were like trying to hit on me. And, you know, my friends would be like, oh, you know, she's not your type. Ha 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 ha. Like saying that, like, my type was only guys. And like, that wasn't true, you know, right, that was like hurtful. And it's things like that, that obviously they weren't meaning to hurt my feelings, and they didn't, if those people could go back, I'm sure they would have like chosen to have not hurt my feelings. And I can't put that on everybody else that they don't know that about me, because I have like stayed in my safe little box my entire life, you know? And now I'm at the point where it's like, it's not safe to stay in that box anymore, because it's like hurting me,
right,
to do that. And so I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I like grew up in that idea. I don't know if like you did, or if you knew people like that, but just that tried to use the excuse of like, well, why do we need to know who everybody wants to have sex with anyway? And why do we need to even talk about that? And why do we even need to care about that or address that? And it's like, well, that's not what we're talking about, right? We're also talking about like who people want to build a family with, and who people want to have a life with, and how they see their life going. And like all of those things also tie into sexuality. They just do, because you're, in most cases, unless you're asexual, you're going to want to be partners with a person you're sexually attracted to.
Right.
No. In most cases.
Yeah. And I think that the statement, oh, well, we don't need to know who you want to have sex with, that is extremely homophobic, because you think about it, straight people, you assume like, oh, a straight person only wants to have sex with one person.
Right.
It's like, okay, straight people don't want to have sex with every single person of the opposite sex. And the same goes for people who are not completely straight. They don't want to have sex with every single human being of that gender that they're attracted to.
Right.
That's not how it works. That's
right.
Not how like our brains are naturally built.
Right.
So for anyone who like thinks that, maybe like do a check within yourself.
Do a deep dive.
Yeah. And just kind of be like, why do I feel like when people come out that they want to have sex with everybody? Like, maybe do some self-reflecting and realize that, like, no, just because someone likes more than one gender does not mean they want to have sex with every single person of that gender. It's right. Like, it reminds me of when I was growing up, I guess we're like the same age a little bit. Yeah. when we were growing up, like TV shows and movies and stuff, when a guy would come out as gay, mm-hmm. all of the straight men would assume that that gay person wanted to have sex with them.
Oh yeah.
And like in every scenario on TV shows and movies and commercials, whatever it may be, books, I don't care. Like that is just something that like has spread to now, because there are so many more identities and like sexuality, mm-hmm. Identifiers. Is that like the right way? Is that the right term for it?
Yeah.
We think that like anyone who comes out as anything other than straight just want to fuck every single being of that.
Yeah.
Identity. Anyways, it just makes me so mad. I could go on, but like, well,
and that's kind of, no, I mean, like that's a perfect segue into, cause I kind of wanted to just sort of get the whole, like, hey, I'm pansexual thing, like out at the front. We're doing that at the front end. So like, I guess the first question I always get asked is like, what is pansexual and how is that different from bisexual? Because people think like, okay, bisexual, like you like both genders, like that covers it. So I guess like pansexual is you do not take gender into account when finding yourself attracted to somebody. So like I quietly thought I was bisexual from like 15 to like really early college, like first semester of college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself attracted to somebody who I thought was a female, who was assigned female at birth. Mm-hmm. And they didn't identify as like she, her, they identified as they, them. And so that put me in a situation where I was like, okay, I'm not attracted to a she in this scenario. I'm attracted to a they in this scenario, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And so then I was in this situation where I was like, okay, well, like bisexual doesn't cut it for me anymore because I'm like not, there's like a whole other spectrum of things people can be. And turns out I'm attracted to those people too, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think I was explaining it to a friend a few days ago and I said like, you know, if you grow up in, like I grew up in a pretty rural area mm-hmm. and we didn't really have people that were openly gendered other than like she, her, he, him when I was growing up there. And so I, when I was younger, was never exposed to people who were genders other than she, her, or he, him. And so I just assumed, oh, I only have crushes on boys and girls, so I'm bisexual, you know? And I didn't tell anybody that because I never really like, at that point in my life, I wasn't seeking out relationships with girls. So I didn't really think it mattered to like talk about it.
Right.
I just would think girls were cute and have crushes on them and stuff. And so then again, got to college, whatever. And then I had a friend who was pansexual and I was like, oh, that like perfectly. She just said what I said to you. Like, I'm not concerned with gender at all when I'm attracted to people. I'm just attracted to who I'm attracted to. So I went home and like looked up what pansexual was, but just from like knowing this friend and knowing who she is and knowing her sexuality, I was like, oh, like that's probably the word that I fit under. So I've known for, oh my gosh, how long has it been since I was a freshman in college? I've known since I was a freshman in college that I was pansexual. And now I am a couple years graduated and have a child. So that I've known for a while now. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, everybody.
I'm moving around. My back started hurting. I'm like moving around. So hopefully I didn't make too much noise.
No,
we're just like over here distracting everyone.
Alarm just went off out of nowhere. I'm gonna have to edit that out. Anyway. Yeah. I've known for, you know, a few years that I'm pansexual, but I never really had any like serious relationships with anybody that wasn't a like he, him identifying person. And so for my entire life, people have not known about those other like more casual relationships that I've had. And I've not like advertised them. And so I've just been assumed straight by everybody my entire life, unless you're somebody that like knows me and like I've talked about it with for some reason, you know, which is like not, I don't just like bring it up. I'm not just like, okay, we're best friends now. Let me tell you, I'm pansexual.
By the way.
Right. If you didn't know this about me.
It's like the fun fact thing when you're like
two truths and a lie. No, but so and over the years I've like tried to get better at like, oh, this is like a good opportunity to bring it up to somebody I trust. I'll bring it up to this person, you know, because it's been like a process for me to even talk about it. I had like one friend in college, obviously like people who I was having like intimate encounters with, and then like Jason when we started dating, and then like pretty much everybody else just assumed I was straight unless, you know, over the years we've been friends and I've, for some reason, we've been talking about sexualities or whatever, and I've brought it up. So, but yeah, I think like it's just been a slow process. And when I was learning about what pansexuality was, it made sense to me, like why I didn't know what that was and why I didn't know what the word was. I didn't know it was like a thing that could happen. So I don't know. I kind of wanted to sort of talk about that a little bit, because I think the history is like kind of interesting and shows, I don't know the history of like every other identifier, but this is what I identify as. And right. Like, this is the history Allison's as experience. I understand it. Yeah. So I'm not trying to be out here saying like, I know the history of like gay men and bisexuals, and because yeah. I don't, I've only looked into when pansexuality started being used as a term and stuff like that. So I'm not trying to claim that I know anything about anything. I'm just saying from what I've learned about my identifier, this is what I know. And the term, like the very first time it was used was by Sigmund Freud, but it didn't mean what it means now. It mm-hmm. meant like literally a predator, like a sexual predator.
Oh.
And so he used it to mean somebody who like sexually preyed on animals or children. And so in 1914, like fast mm-hmm. forward a while after Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
And people, I can't remember who the person was that first used it, but it was in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology, mm-hmm. if that tells you anything. And that was when it was first listed as like a sexuality that didn't have to do with like anything predatory, basically. But they were like, oh, this word already exists, and there'll probably not be people that even are this thing, so we'll just use this super harmful word that means that this person's a predator and just stick it over here and publish it in a journal called the Journal of Abnormal Psychology. And then there won't be hundreds of years of shame attached to this word.
No.
For anybody that identifies as it, right?
No, definitely not.
So that's like one of the things. Sorry, my husband has Laurel. So like, don't worry if you hear her crying. She's okay. I'm not just like ignoring her. No, but yeah. So that was one of the things. I like re-looked it up today because I couldn't remember what year it was that it was in that journal. But mm-hmm. I remember looking that up when I first learned about the term, and I was like, really? This is the best we can do? Like, it's how are we supposed to expect people to like feel okay with who they are and not carry shame about who they are when you look up, when was pansexual first used as a word to describe people who liked all genders and or people who weren't concerned with gender? And you get the answer that it was first published in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology, and you're a freshman in college, you're like, oh, like this was at that time, it was just over 100 years ago that had been published. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you expect people to like come to terms with who they are and yeah. tell the people they love? And like, I don't know. So I kind of just want to, I guess, have a conversation about like, that's why it's taken me so long to like feel like I have any justification to come out or anything right. like that, is because there's not just like shame within myself and how I grew up and like how I watched people that were identifying similarly to how I identified be treated and were open about it. But I also do believe in like societal and cultural and generational trauma. And mm-hmm. there's now 100 years of us using this term that is still the best term to describe us, but was super harmful when it first originated.
Yeah.
You know? And well,
we're like trying to learn about this term that you think you identify with. And then the first thing you see is abnormal psychology or friggin' Sigmund Freud, or I can never yeah. say, First off, I think he was like a psycho though. So let's just keep that in mind.
True.
He was crazy. But when the first thing you're just trying to like get information about it and like learn about it. And then the
you're
first
like, thing oh, I'm that, everybody's going to assume I like, I'm an animal lover now.
Like, yeah. Like, no, it's super fucked up. And like, I think, and it's a shame that that's like the history of it, because when you go to look at it, like imagine being 15.
Oh yeah.
Looking that up and you're like, okay, I'm just going to like ignore that. Like, I don't like what I found. So I'm just going to like move on and just ignore that part of myself. Like, yeah. I think that's what I would do if that was me.
And it justifies the argument to people that are homophobic, that it's okay to be homophobic, because look, this term wouldn't even have been created if people weren't trying to have sex with kids and animals. This term wouldn't even exist. And it's like, that's not what anybody in present time that's identifying as pansexual is trying to do.
No.
And it's like, yeah. So I think it's just like, it's such a, I don't even know what I'm trying to say with this conversation, but I'm just trying to get people to like sort of understand like where that shame comes from. And like that if they're feeling it, it's okay. I have a lot of it and have had a lot of it over the years. And like, it's just a very difficult thing to maneuver when really like at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter, right? Like it shouldn't matter. And, but then again, it does. 'Cause it's like, we've built a system that just assumes like men are going to be with women and women are going to be with men. And I don't know. I think that it's, you know, of course today, like I don't have any shame in like identifying as pansexual because of those things, but it makes it hard to like present to the world that I'm pansexual because of those things, you know?
Yeah. And rightfully so, because like, as much as everyone acts like our country is very progressive about this stuff, we're not.
Yeah.
Like there's so many people who still mock this whole ordeal.
Oh yeah.
Like whole idea of like coming out as something other than straight or coming out as something other than your own gender. Like, a lot of people still mock it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I do think like, these conversations, and this is why like this part of Pride Month is my favorite, because like these conversations are very important to have. And like, there's people who like me, I don't know everything about the community and I love learning about it, but like, there's no way in hell I could ever understand like,
oh yeah, me either.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's just, like, I don't know. These conversations are just super important. Whether you know everything about it or not, just to even listen to, which is why I was excited that we did this episode, because I know that a lot of us don't even understand half of this.
Yeah. And honestly, so, like if you have friends that identify as something different and they're like willing to talk about that with you, ask them the questions that you do have, because people like want to know that there are people that love them that are interested in those parts of them and that want to hear those parts of them. Like I was so, my friend that I was talking about it with the other day, you know, she kept saying like, if you, you know, I don't want to put any like emotional labor on you. Basically, like you can tell me to Google stuff. You don't have to, after every question she asked, she just kind of reassured me that like, if this is just basic and I need to just Google this, then tell me. Right. And, but I, you know, told her like, no, like I like knowing that somebody in my life who loves me like wants to understand me so well that they like are asking me questions. That's such a huge thing. I don't want you to just go Google pansexual for the reasons that I like, you know, like that we just talked about. I don't want you to see that stuff on Google and assume that like that's who me and the rest of the people that identify this way are, you know? And of course now if you just Google what is pansexual, you're probably going to get the right information. I was Googling very specific things when I was looking into it, but I think like when you're looking into something like that, you are looking at really specific questions. You're not just broadly Googling things, you know? So I don't know. I just would encourage people like to ask questions. If people, obviously, if you have a friend who is like, you know that they're, you know, maybe they're out to you, but they're not to everybody, it might not be a good idea to have them bring those things up. But if you have a friend who's like open about their sexuality or their gender and it's different than yours, I would just encourage you to like listen to their experience. And even if it's an experience that you have like heard about before, it's still good to hear another person who has the same one. Like, just because you're like, okay, Allison's a pansexual and I listened to this podcast episode, like, check, don't need to ask anybody any more questions. Like, still listen to, you know, I feel like people, I don't know, just like you were saying earlier, you can't understand all of it because that would be saying that you understand every single person, you know?
Right.
And because every single person falls on the sexuality spectrum somewhere, you know? And saying that you understand all of it would be saying that you understand every single person that's ever lived and that ever will live.
No.
And that's just like not...
not a thing.
Ever possible. Yeah. So just like talk to each other, and even like... friends who have different expressions of your same gender. Like if you're both females and somebody's expressing that differently, like talk about that. I don't know. I agree with you that these conversations are, it's so valuable to like try to intimately understand the people that are in your life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But
so I had one question that came up in my head, which I think a lot of people will probably have similar.
Yeah.
So when, I know you kind of said it was like your freshman year of college, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you realized that you identify as pansexual.
Yeah.
Was it like a gradual thing, you think, that, or like, I don't know, like, because I feel like when people think of individuals identifying as something, they think it's like, oh, they woke up one day and just identified as something.
Oh,
so like, yeah. It was like, was it like a gradual thing where you were like questioning for a long time, kind of like, were you like, is this just like teenage feelings that I'm feeling, or is this like real? Like, am I still straight? Like, I don't know. So
can you I was like very heavily religiously involved in high school and early years of college. Like interned at my church, went to church camps, like thought I was going to be a youth pastor for a few years, like the whole nine.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another experience that we can talk about, but not like, I don't want to make that sound bad. You know, it's fine.
No, I mean, there's, but it's, that's, it's, you know, being, there's a lot of like oppression when it comes to.
Yes. So. That's right. And so I kind of just didn't want to be anywhere near gay, like didn't want to be, if I'm being honest, because, and not that anybody, I didn't go to churches that were like openly homophobic, you know, it's not like I was in the Westboro Baptist Church or anything like that, but I mean, like, I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say?
Okay, you know, so I mean?
You don't, okay, it's not like you itself doesn't have to be homophobic for you as a gay person to experience homophobia within the church.
It may not have been like people throwing stones at you,
right?
But at the same time, there's a lot of homophobia that is like tied into the Christian community. Naturally, without even like them talking about the subject, you know, like it is just like they, it's because the assumption is you're going to
be is for woman and woman.
Yes, man is for woman. You get married, then you have a baby, and then like you get a house and you, you know, have more babies. And it's just like, that's like the whole point of like, and nothing against, and this could be a whole nother topic of an episode, but like,
yeah,
not that there's anything against the Christian community.
No. Or like, oh my gosh.
But like, I'm just saying like, that is no secret that is tied into those communities. So if you are heavily involved with the church as a younger person trying to find out what you identify as, naturally you're going to want to not be gay.
Yeah. You're hoping that you're straight as a...
Straight as a board.
Straight as a board. Yeah.
So, yes. So it's not like you were bullied.
Yeah. So I didn't have any, like, you know, bullying. Again, nobody knew I was, like, having these thoughts or feelings.
You just, like, felt the pressure to not feel that way.
Right. And and especially when it came to, like, dating, like, I would be encouraged to date these boys in the church, but I also, like, had crushes on these girls in the church, and I knew I wasn't going to be encouraged to date them, you know?
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah.
So I don't know, just subtle things like that, that you're like, I don't know. I was telling Jason, like, if I had been in communities that were like just totally open to me expressing that, maybe I would have had a girlfriend in high school or a, you know, romantic relationship with somebody who didn't identify as a male or a female, you know, like maybe I would have felt okay to like express that in high school. But yeah, so to answer your question, yeah, in high school I was very much like, these are just, I kind of chalked it up to like hormones and just being like a teenager and just being like, well, I'm just a teenager, I just am attracted to everybody because I'm a teenager, you know. And then, yeah, when I got to college, I knew there were lots of boys I did not like and specific brands of boys I did not like. And I was like, so I don't just like everybody because I'm being selective about – I don't want people to – I was not like a very promiscuous person in college. And it's fine if I had been, you know. I'm not saying that that's bad, but I wasn't. I had like a – you know, my number of partners could fit on two hands through my whole entire high school and college experience.
Right.
And so I realized like I was being selective, but it wasn't on the basis of gender, you know?
Yeah. So like you weren't just looking at like males and being like, no, I don't like you because you're a douchebag.
Right.
I don't like you because you're not cute. Like, it's like you were looking at everybody as individuals.
Right.
And we're attracted to people based on personality, looks, whatever.
Yeah. And I couldn't just kind of, because in high school I was a little bit like, oh, whoever gives me attention, you know.
I mean, we all kind of were.
Yeah.
That's the hormones.
Yeah. And so when I got to college and I wasn't like that anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't chalk it up to those hormones anymore. That's kind of when I was like, okay. And then again, like I had that experience where I was like, oh, well, this person doesn't identify as a male or a female. So like, am I still bisexual even though I've had this encounter with this person? So it was a very gradual thing. But then once I learned like what pansexual was, it was kind of like just not overnight that I suddenly was a pansexual, but I knew what the word was, you know?
Right. And so basically you saw what pansexual was and you were like, oh, that's
me. I identified as pansexual really quickly after I found out what it was. Okay. Because so
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, it just like so perfectly described what I was. I just was like, yeah, this is what I've been my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you like seek out this, like the pansexual information, or were you just like happened to be learning about it? And then you were like, oh, that's me. Like, it's almost like when you're taking classes in psychology, if you have before, like, obviously all of these, you have to learn about like all these mental disorders and then
and
I'm not saying that's a mental disorder. That's not a good comparison,
but
like, saying like comparison. You see something on a screen and you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like I relate to that. Like, it was that kind of like the same experience.
It's kind of like that. Or like, I don't want to say like the Enneagram or like something like that, but like
it's similar, like learning
yourself and you're like, oh, that I'm like that. That's what I'm like. Yeah. And so you know that you've always been that way. And so it's not like you just overnight were that thing. But once I found out what pansexual was, it was like very easy for me to be like, yeah, I'm a pansexual. And I have been since I found out what that was. And when I found out, my friend was just talking about it with me. because that's what she was. And I don't, we were kind of friends where like, we didn't talk about our sexuality, but we both knew that we liked just like everybody, like we would talk about it, you know? Yeah. And so I think one day I just asked her like, so what, like, what do we call ourselves? And she had known that she was a pansexual for a couple of years. And she was like, oh, I'm pansexual. Like, that's what I am. And so then she kind of described it to me. And then I went home and like looked it up and knew after I looked it up, like, oh yeah, that's what I am. Like I watched a couple of YouTube videos of people talking about like their experiences growing up as a pansexual. And they were like very similar to mine, just kind of like assuming that you like everybody because you're like a horny teenager, you know?
Right.
And then you're an adult and you're like, oh, I'm again being selective, but not because people are boys or girls or not boys or girls. Yeah.
It's not just because you were a horny teen. It's like,
right. No. Exactly. And not that I like wasn't being selective in high school, but again.
Well, I think it's fair to say that all of us were not as selective in high school as we should. As unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of have like we all have regrets when it comes to our high school romantic decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's just like really important for people to like find out, because since I've known that about myself, it's been like a lot easier for me to navigate romantic relationships, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot easier to explain, because I think it also like guys I've dated in the past that I tried telling this to like before I knew I was pansexual, just kind of assumed like, oh, she like wants to have threesomes or wants to whatever. And like, it's not what I'm saying.
No. Okay. So question, as I'm trying to like understand this from someone like a listener's perspective. If you are struggling with telling your identity or like your sexual identity to a partner who happens to be in the, I guess, typical assumed role.
Mm-hmm.
So say like, for example, you as a pansexual woman mm-hmm. who is dating I don't want to assume, but like, you know, possibly a straight man.
Right.
How was the conversation of like, how did you bring that up? And like, how did you explain what, I don't know, I guess, how would you tell someone in a relationship to have that conversation with their partner? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I do see what you're saying. I think that it's important. It kind of came up for us because Jason and I, you know, not that everybody has to do this, but Jason and I, when we started dating, just talked about past sexual partners because we felt like that was a responsible thing to do. And when we started dating, we moved kind of quickly, but there was a short period of time where we weren't exclusively dating. And so I think both of us kind of wanted to know, like, if we're not exclusively dating, like you're only with other people who are like, not going to give me an STD basically through you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's honestly like how the conversation was brought up, because we were like, hey, like we're active with each other. We should probably talk about like who we've been active with in the past couple of months. And we didn't like, you know, it's not like we like shit talked people or like even gave names, you know, at that point.
It's just anybody. A responsible conversation to have.
Right. We just were like, okay, like I've had a couple encounters that were like this, and this was the level of protection in those encounters, you know, whatever. And at the time, I had only had one other male partner in the last couple months,
mm-hmm.
but Jason knew that I'd had other partners. Yes. But we were specifically talking about a form of protection that only male partners can have.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, we were talking about that. And so then I just explained like, cause I, you know, don't remember how it was brought up, but he must've asked like, oh, are you bisexual or whatever, or somehow it was brought up. And I just sort of said like, no, I'm pansexual. And at that point, it had been like, I think 2 years that I knew. So it was a little bit easier for me. At that point, I had had friends that I'd told, you know, and brought it up to.
Telling someone. It wasn't like he was the first person that you told.
Yeah. I didn't like, I think it would have been a lot harder if I was in the relationship with him and then found out. Like my boyfriend before Jason did not know. Like I did not tell him that I had any of those inclinations. And I think that it's fine if you like have a partner that isn't your like forever partner and you don't feel comfortable talking about your identity with them. Like, I don't know. I think it's okay for Jason and I, like we talked about it because it felt safe and natural to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's always been my biggest thing with people is just like, yeah, you experience a lot of microaggression as a person on any like spectrum that isn't just like heteronormative, you know, whatever. So I think I just have like talked with my friends who've like shared with me, like, I think I'm pansexual too. Like, how did you tell Jason or whatever? Cause I've had those conversations with friends.
Yeah.
And I just tell them like, I told him when it felt safe and when it felt natural, you know, and you don't owe telling your partner your identity if it's not pertinent to like, basically as long as your identities match up, as long as like, you know, they're attracted to you and you're attracted to them and everybody's, you know, okay with the arrangement that you've made for like any other partners that you're going to have while you're with each other, then if it doesn't feel natural and safe to you, then it's not, you don't need to bring it up, you know? But if you're somebody who's like, I really, really want to tell them and it does feel good to tell them, but I just don't know how to, then like, you know, do something that is, I'm a very jokey person. So my first instinct would be to like be somewhere and like point out somebody that you think is like attractive and like see how they react and be like, you know, what? Like that's probably, I don't know. That probably would have felt a little bit safe to me because I could have like tested out like how do they feel the about vibe. This?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say like, if you're struggling to tell them, just sort of like think about those little ways that you can like sort of feel it out first and then see if like a natural conversation can come from that. If it's a partner that you trust, like it is a conversation about sexuality. So if you feel comfortable bringing it up in a sexual encounter or situation and that feels natural to you, like do that. I don't know. I just think that it's a part of you. And as long as like, if you're in a relationship, you're adhering to like the, not rules, but like, you know, if you agreed to be monogamous, as long as you're like not using your sexuality as an excuse to not be monogamous or whatever the arrangement is, then it's fine to keep that part of you to yourself until it does feel okay to share it. Because once you do share it, you do have to, there is a little bit of a role on your part of like education for that person that you told, you know? And so you have to feel ready to do that. And if you don't feel like emotionally or mentally ready to, you know, explain to your partner this part of yourself, then wait until you are, because if they're a partner that's going to be with you for a long time, then you'll have ample opportunity in the future to tell them. And me being pansexual doesn't have any bearing on me and Jason's relationship, you know, like what?
Like, it's just a part of like who you are and like,
right.
He loves that part of you too. So it's like,
right. So like, I would, that's the other thing I would say is just like, it really doesn't have any bearing on your present relationship, as long as you're too, if you're in a situation where you like are with somebody and you're like, oh, I'm realizing my sexuality doesn't match this arrangement that we have, then of course you need to bring that up. But if you're, you know, in a similar situation to mine where your sexuality means that you're attracted to your partner, you know, then if it doesn't feel safe to bring it up, or it doesn't feel like the right time, or it just feels like a secret that you need to keep for yourself a little bit longer until you figure out other parts of yourself before you tell other people, that's totally valid too. Like, I don't know. I think it's really important for everybody to do it like on their own timeline, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And to understand, like, especially, you know, learning those things about pansexuality, like, did help me understand why I didn't want to, you know, identify as anything other than straight for so long. Cause I was like, oh, this is why, because we're using terms like these, like, I'll have to accept this term as myself, which is like the closest thing to myself. And I do feel like it helps me mm-hmm. identify who I am, but I wish it wasn't a word that originally meant predator.
I mean, fair point, fair feelings.
Like, I mean, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because anybody that knows me would tell you I'm not a predator.
I mean, yeah. Like, it's not like all of a sudden we can just come up with a new word. It just sucks. Right. That's
what was chosen and what was used, you know? Yeah.
Like, fuck whoever did that.
Yeah. The Journal of Abnormal Psychology.
So yes.
But yeah, if you are like struggling to come out to friends or family, don't put like pressure on yourself. Do it when it feels like right. Do it how it feels right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge anybody because it took me so long and then I did it on a podcast episode. So you can do it however you want.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like people think it has to be like a sit down conversation and you have to be like, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Pansexual. Like, you don't have to make a huge event out of it if you don't want to. And if you do, that's great. Like, you know,
yeah.
But I think there, like, that is a part of the conversation that doesn't really get talked about, is like the actual coming out and like actual part of like telling other people about what you identify as. Mm-hmm. And so I think you should do it however you feel comfortable. And if that's a podcast episode because you have a podcast, you should do it.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's a really cool thing that like you have control over sharing that piece of yourself, and you get to decide, like, this is how it feels safe for me, you know? Yeah. And now when my friends and family have questions, I can be like, go listen to my podcast. Exactly.
Well, and it's like, I was talking to my roommate yesterday, and she was talking about something completely random, but she mentioned like, well, you're an open book when it comes to like social media, but when it comes to like in-person conversations, you are like a hard egg to crack. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That is so true. So like,
yeah,
social media is like my comfort zone where I do feel comfortable sharing everything that's going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And so like, if social media is your comfort area for you to come out, like, go ahead and use that. And then you can explain later if you feel comfortable doing.
Right.
And so, I don't know, I guess my point is just, if you are like struggling with like your identity in the first place, like, you know, look stuff up and hopefully you will resonate with something on the spectrum of sexuality.
Oh yeah.
And if you feel comfortable enough about it to come out, like you're like, oh my God, I have a revelation. I want to talk to my best friend. Talk to your best friend. Like, you don't have to like tell the whole world what you mm-hmm. identify as if you don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was very nice, like, for me to just select like safe people and tell them throughout the years, like, I could kind of just keep a running tab in my head of like, these are the people that know this about me, you know? And so like, if you are feeling like you want to tell some people, but you don't want to, you know, have a big thing, or you don't want to tell everybody at once or whatever, just, you know, bring it up when it feels right for you and with people that are going to be safe people to talk about it with. And if you don't have people like that in your life, there are so many people like that on the internet. I found a lot of people who like felt me, who made me feel like safe yeah. in who I was, just like looking up hashtag pansexual.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like Facebook groups and stuff that you can join to have like a safe space for yourself until you're ready to talk to everyone else about it. Mm-hmm. I have another question that just came in my head.
Yeah.
And I want to ask before I forget.
Yeah.
So as an ally, what, because I struggle with like knowing what the right thing to do and say is as an ally, because I can't relate to any part of the community. What would you want? Like, what is your idea of like a perfect ally?
I would say somebody that like asks questions when they have them and doesn't try to just like, you know, justify things in their head or whatever. Like if you have like a question,
actualization,
right? If you have a question, just ask it. Don't assume anything about anybody's like experience, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say is just like, be normal about things, you know? Like, I don't like it when people, I've had a couple of friends in the past who have like found out I'm pansexual and then just sort of like, I don't know, I'm like the only person they know that's pansexual or something.
That's, you're like a golden token.
Yeah. And just like, don't do that. Like, I don't know, just be normal about weird things. Like if we're, I don't know, like if you're out somewhere with somebody and like they need a wing person for like somebody that they're trying to go pick up at a bar, don't be like, you know, thinking every girl in the room's their type if they're a lesbian or every guy in the room's their type if they're, you know, gay. Like just, I don't know, ask questions, don't assume things of people. And I don't know, I would say like point people to education like when you can, you know, like things that have helped you learn or things that have helped you understand, repeat them and share them. And I think it's just really important. I would like to live in a world where like my daughter or her kids or somewhere, you know, close down the line, people wouldn't even really have to be, I don't know, I don't want to say like that coming out wouldn't have to exist, because like I do love that people, you know, are able to express themselves that way. And I don't want to sound like that, but I would like for it to not be a necessity for people to just have the right to like who they're going to like and not have to justify that part of them or whatever. So I think whatever we can do to work towards a world where people can just be what they are. And like, if you want to discuss that, you can. And if you don't, it doesn't really matter because you're allowed to exist that way anyway.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what we're working toward.
Yeah. It's like total inclusion for everyone.
Right.
So like, it shouldn't have to be an event of coming out. Like, and I agree with you. Like, yes, it's great that people do, but the only reason why it's a thing is because that community is oppressed.
Yeah. And you're making, I mean, you're having people admit there's something different about me. Hey, look at this different thing about me. And we don't make straight people do that.
No, I don't have to be like,
you don't have to come out when you're in your first relationship, like, I like boys. Like, everybody just assumes that of you, you know?
Yeah. No, and you're so right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's, I would like to live in a world where either everybody has to come out or nobody does.
Right. You know? And that's like another just thing. Or I was learning, I don't know what social platform this was, but people were wondering why everyone is putting like their, identifying pronouns on like their social media, their LinkedIn, everything. And I need to go and do that. But like people are, but people are saying like, I do need to, I'm sorry. I just keep
your faces. You were like,
I do. But the people are saying, that the reason why is because we want every, like people shouldn't have to disclose that they identify as something different. Like it shouldn't be assumed he, her, or he and her and she and he.
Yeah.
Like, people shouldn't have to assume that. Like, so it's nice to have people who are identifying as their birth gender to disclose that on, like, publicly, so that it's normal for people who don't identify as what they were born as. Am I making sense?
Oh yeah. It's making me think of this one podcast that I really, really like. It's called And That's Why We Drink, and they're a true crime podcast. Yeah. And they do like listener suggestion episodes. Yeah. And they've been on for a few years now. But when they first started, they asked everybody, like, even if you're a she, her, or he, him, and it's like would be typically obvious, you know, in a letter to us, we still want you to say, like, hi, my name's Mark and I use he, him pronouns or whatever, right, so that when we're talking about you, we can address you correctly. And so they'll say to people, like, if Sarah writes in and she's like, I'm Sarah and I use she, her pronouns, they'll say, hi, Sarah, thank you for normalizing pronouns. And yeah, I think that's so great, because it's just like, yeah, we shouldn't have to put the emotional labor on the people that we've ostracized. And, you know, we should be trying harder to include them and to say, we're sorry our society has ostracized you. What can we do to make it more comfortable for you to exist? Because right now there are entire groups of people that don't feel comfortable existing. And there are entire groups of people who are, their life expectancies are so much lower because they're killing themselves at such high rates. And it's like, we should be trying harder as the people who aren't dealing with such difficult plights to be more inclusive to those people, you know? And yeah, I think it's, I've just always really liked that about that podcast, that they've encouraged people, like, even if we would typically guess your right pronoun and you think that we would, please still include it, you know, to normalize it for the people who have different ones. And then when they're reading those listener suggestions, it's not weird when somebody pops up and has different pronouns than you would expect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels a little bit safer for those people. And I really, really appreciate and enjoy that, you know?
Yeah. I love that too. That's good. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, sexuality. Like, we should have to disclose, by the way, I'm straight, because, like, everyone else who is in, you know, identify as another sexuality, they do
have to disclose that at some point.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not really fair that this world is like that. So
yeah, just, I would say, just, like, you know, circling back to ally, the biggest thing you can do for people, I think allies of any kind, is just not make any assumptions about their experience, you know, and just ask questions when you've got them and listen when you don't have questions. And I think that that's, like, the best thing that people can do, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed. But cool. Thank you for creating this, like, space for me today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope you learned a little something about, like, what pansexuality is. I get asked pretty much every single time I tell somebody that's what I am, I get asked what it is. So
yeah, well, now you know. And now, next time you meet a pansexual person, you do not have to ask that question because you already know.
Yeah, you can be like, oh, educated. My gosh, I have a friend who's pansexual. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing and being open and honest, Allison. I think it is awesome that you are able to talk about it and be comfortable coming out. We just talked about it. just comfortable talking about it in this space. And I think that people in our community will relate or want to learn more about what it is and how to be an ally. So happy Pride Month, everybody.
Yes. Happy Pride Month.
Great episode for our 20th episode. And I'm very excited about it. And we can actually release this one.
I know.
So, I guess I don't really have any other thoughts.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm really glad we got to do this. Happy Pride Month to everybody. Woo. Get real gay this month, everyone.
Yes. Just go
wave your rainbow flags around. Just,
and if you're straight, don't be afraid to, like, be super supportive. of the gay community. Like, it's so, like, you don't have to be gay to, like, wear rainbows and, like, celebrate Pride Month. Like, you can be a wonderful ally by, like, celebrating it too. So that way it's all, again, inclusive for everybody. And there it is.
Yeah. And another good thing you can do if you're a straight person is to just post on your story or whatever your social media and just say that you're a safe space for sexual people of all sexualities and all genders. Just say my page is a safe space. Cause I will say, I do appreciate that when I see people repost that, I'm like, oh, I don't have to be afraid of, like, if they watch my story, what they're going to think, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, it's just like, peace of mind.
Yeah. So, you know, be allies, be, you know,
be just gay, be whatever
other
you
people.
Be. Yeah. Be whatever the fuck you want to be, and just be what makes you happy.
Yes. Be proud of it.
Proud of it.
All right. We will talk to everybody next week. Oh wait, we got to do our sign offs. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Okay. So we will be posting our question for next topic. I don't even know what we're talking about yet, but we will post our question for it. So you can go answer that question at This Is 20 Pod. That is at THISISTWENTYPOD. And, you can go, I don't have a good intro this time. You can go to my page. You can go to my page at val.byrnes. That is at val.byrnes.
And you can go, I know I was trying to think of mine too. I mean, if you want to go to my page and just tell me happy Pride Month, you can. My handle on Instagram is at Allison R. Carpenter. That's at ALISONRCARPENTER. And I'm also gonna plug my small business page right here because I really probably start doing that. If you like plants and thrifted vintage stuff, you should look at my Instagram. It's at Pagan Plant Mama, at PAGANPLANTMAMA. That's it, folks.
Those are our plugs. All right. Yes. So go follow us. Go follow our personal and business pages. And happy Pride Month. Go celebrate. We love you guys. Woo. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to This Is 20-something. We have new episodes every week, and they are available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast, head to anchor.fm/thisis20pod and press the support icon. You can follow us on Instagram at thisis20pod, and if you really love us, you'll find the nearest iPhone user and have them give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That is where 80 to 90% of listeners in the market find new podcasts, so leaving us as many reviews and ratings as you can really does help us spread the word. See you next week.